Colossus. Come to the Red Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Colossus vs. the World, an actual play podcast where a man with little to no knowledge about the Marvel Universe is nonetheless determined to conquer it using the Russian X-Man known as Colossus. I'm Pedro, the creator and GM of Colossus vs. the World, and with me is my brother Frank, who will be playing the role of Colossus. I hope you're ready for where he takes this game, because I wasn't. Before we get too far into the podcast, I do want to explain a little bit about the system we're using. Colossus vs. the World is going to be using the Marvel Heroic Role-Playing rule set provided by Margaret Weiss Productions. So the way this system works, if you're familiar with D&D, Dungeons & Dragons, you'll know that most of the game revolves around the largest die. That's the D20. The D20 is what I call the decision die. You roll that and then add lots of math to it to find out if you hit, if you succeed, all that stuff, right? Well, in Marvel Heroic Role-Playing, you actually have several different categories on your character sheet, and when you want to take an action in the game, you describe the action, and then you get to use as many dice as are appropriate to that action, one per category. So then, you do all that, you get a huge pool of dice together, you pull two dice to see how accurate you are, and you pull one die to see how effective that action was. So you've always got to kind of try to figure out, do you want to be more accurate, do you need more power behind your punch, things like that. There's a lot more to the game, and if you're familiar with World Walkers, my other podcast, which you can find all of our stuff at worldwalkerspodcast.com, and you'll know that my style is not to bog you guys down with all the rules, so if you're interested, the book's pretty cheap online, I think, right now. But if you're interested in the rules, feel free to go out and dig them up. But for the most part, we're going to try to focus mostly on making sure the story is what's important and the humor and the, you know, Frank's actions and stuff like that. We're not going to bore you with a lot of the mechanics. But for the most part, just know that we're trying to build an entire dice pool together, and then we're going to roll them and pick the three dice that we want to use to determine our total and the effectiveness of our action. The other thing you should know is that there's a mechanic in this game called the Doom Pool. The Doom Pool is a resource that I, the GM in the game, gets to use to affect gameplay. In other types of role-playing games, the GM is kind of free to do whatever they want to. One of the things I really enjoy about this system is that there's a mechanic that I have to kind of use in order to make changes to the game. And this kind of lets everyone know that the things I'm doing are fair. The things I'm doing are, they have a mechanical basis for them. I'm not just being a dick. Maybe I'm being dickish, but it's in the rules. So you're going to hear me refer to the Doom Pool every now and then and say that I'm going to take this action and I'm going to use the Doom Pool. The Doom Pool represents the growing dread that looms over the players throughout the game. So every time things get more and more chaotic, every time the villains start to gain upper hand, every time players roll ones, I can gain more doom dice, and that makes the game tougher and tougher and tougher. If I ever get to the point where I have two 12-sided dice in my pool, I can end the combat whenever I want to. The last thing you should know is that players have a resource as well, and it's called plot points. Players can accumulate plot points whenever I roll ones. There's a couple other things in their character sheet that allow them to get ones. There's a couple different ways to get plot points, and you'll kind of learn that through the game. You'll learn how Frank gets those plot points as we play, but for the most part, the important thing to know about plot points is simply that they are what fuels a lot of his powers. So he can use plot points to increase his dice pool, or get more out of his dice pool. And most importantly, it powers a lot of his special abilities, such as invulnerability, which allows him to pretty much just take hits regardless of how powerful they are. That's the gist of the game. If you have any questions about how it works, feel free to look up Marvel Heroic Roleplaying. Also, feel free to hit me up if you have questions, and I can either refer you to a place that can help you out, or I can try to answer your questions too. The easiest way to get a hold of me is through the World Walkers Twitter feed, which is at World Walkers Pod on Twitter. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/worldwalkerspod. If you have questions, hit me up. I'm happy to try to explain. So, welcome to Colossus versus the World. It's pretty much a two-person game. My name is Pedro. I am the creator and GM of World Walkers, which you can find at worldwalkerspodcast.com. And I am the creator and GM of Colossus versus the World. I am the storyteller. I'm going to be running the game. And with me is my brother, Frank.
Hey.
And he's going to be playing Colossus. There's a couple things that you want to know before you get into this game. First off, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but Frank does not read comics.
True.
Frank does not really watch the Marvel movies or the comic book movies in general.
It's fair.
Three, he has almost no knowledge of Colossus specifically. Is that an accurate statement?
Nah.
And lastly, the entirety of his knowledge regarding Russia comes from the classic film Rocky IV. In fact, one time in order to gauge, I wanted to kind of get a feel for what he actually knew about Russia when he first started talking about doing this kind of thing. And I said, Frankie, what can you tell me about the Cold War? And Frankie thought for a second. He said, well, it's Russia. I assume all their wars are cold.
Am I wrong?
So, one last thing I want to mention, we're playing in what is known as Marvel 616. It's the standard Marvel world, the main universe that you're familiar with if you read any of the comics. But as it's probably going to become apparent to those who are absolute hardcore comic book fans, this is my version. The world that I'm presenting is kind of an amalgam of the things that my favorite parts of the Marvel universe and the parts of the Marvel Universe that I find super interesting. So don't try to fit it into an exact time frame. Like, this is not going to take place between, like, Civil War and Dark Avengers. It's not going to take place between Messiah Complex and Generation X. Like, it's my own thing. So, yeah, just go in knowing that, you know, don't try to get too hardcore about the continuity of it. I'm going to try and keep my continuity straight, but it's not really trying to be an exact replica of a certain time frame of the Marvel continuity. Our game starts at the Xavier School for Gifted Youngsters. It has been quite some time since you've stood upon these hallowed grounds, okay?
Mm-hmm.
For reasons that are up to you, you had not a bad split from the X-Men, but definitely a split from the X-Men. At some point, you wandered your own way. Since that time, the one thing you would know is that Professor Xavier has gone missing. And then suddenly, one day, you get a summons from Scott Summers, also known as Cyclops, leader of the X-Men, to come to the school for a visit. He didn't really explain why. He just asked you to please have a meeting with him. Okay, so you have come in from where? Where were you before this?
Probably the jungles of Sleniarsk over in Russia.
One more to the jungles of what?
Sleniarsk.
Sleniarsk, okay. Is that real or is that Frank?
I think it's real. I played Metal Gear Solid 3 and that was a location.
Oh, well then, yeah, I mean, it checks.
Snake Eater!
Yeah, you've just returned, I suppose, from the jungles. Somehow the missive reached you while you were in the jungles.
I keep a walkie-talkie.
You keep a walkie-talkie. And so, yeah, you caught a flight back here. and you stand before the grounds. Now, when last you left, the Xavier School for Gifted Youngsters actually wasn't much of a school. It had moved to more of a focus towards the X-Men and kind of more of the superhero game.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were more of like a refugee school. You know what I mean? Like, it was more of a habitat for mutant kind, not so much a school of higher learning. You're surprised when you return to the grounds that it's full of kids. Like, there's young mutants running all over. They're bustling back and forth from between classes. They're talking. They're actually having lunch out on the school grounds, and you can see mutants of all kinds roaming around. You can see from the physically different in appearance, just, you know, mutants whose mutant powers seem more descriptive than useful. to kids who are openly displaying their powers. You see, I mean, it's like a regular high school with a wide variety of mutant powers.
It's a regular high school, only some people have their faces on their chest.
We'll go
or they
that.
Have, or they have ice faces,
or ice faces. It's a lot of stuff with faces.
I don't know. He has to feed himself through his nipples or something. Takes all kinds of the Xavier Museum of Higher Learning, wherever this place is called.
Meet our newest recruit, Nipple Mouth. He just squirts on you, and you're like, what the hell? It's like, oh, he likes you.
I'm lactose intolerant, asshole. No, man, Nipplemouth's gonna have to come at me foul, because he's the only one that can stop me, I'm sure.
All right, so what do you have with you? Did you come with, like, a duffel bag, or, like, a suitcase, any kind of clothes? You just show up as is?
No, I have a duffel bag. It's got some spare clothes. I'm wearing my safari outfit still.
Describe a safari outfit that Colossus would wear.
For those that don't know what Colossus looks like, he's square-jawed, and he's got several barrels of chest, and purebred Russian. But yeah, safari outfit, I just imagine, like, he's got one of those, like, beige tan safari hats, you know, with the wide brim. He's probably got, like, green cargo shorts, a tan, like, button-down, and, like, a green duffel bag.
Some of the kids seem to recognize you. They look over, and they're kind of surprised to see you back. But they're not saying anything. They're staying pretty much out of your way. What do you do?
They should. I'm just straightforward, heading to the doors.
Xavier's school for gifted youngsters is inside a mansion, if you didn't know. So, several stories tall. Obviously, the man's got some books.
Mm-hmm.
But,
disgusting.
Yeah. So, you wander through the doors and you find yourselves in a large hallway. There's a grand staircase leading up, and then it goes to the left and to the right. Many doors on the left, many doors on the right, two main hallways. But you know the way to the main office, which is the headmaster's office, which is where Cyclops would like to see you.
Yeah, making moves that way.
All right, so you ascend the staircase and you make your way through.
Do I recognize anyone?
As of yet, no. I know. Yeah, you walk in. You actually don't have to go up the stairs. You're able to go down the hall and to the right. And as you make your way towards the headmaster's office, you walk down a gallery. And the gallery shows a lot of the classic X-Men. You see portraits of Bobby Drake, Iceman, hanging up. You see portraits of even Kurt Wagner, Nightcrawler, hanging up. It kind of, I don't know, does it bring back memories? How does it sit with you?
It's bittersweet.
You make your way in to the library, and the library is expansive. Is Colossus much of a reader?
As much as any thoroughbred Russian man is, so yes.
What kind of books does he seem to gravitate towards?
Nonfiction.
Nonfiction. Yep.
History. Worldly affairs. Things I myself don't know shit about.
This is not like an incredible library. This might be more of like maybe Xavier's personal library. You're not sure that the school itself uses this particular library. But the school has seen some expansion since you've been here, so you imagine there's a much bigger library somewhere else.
You said I know my way around the school already?
Yeah. That's why you know where to go. So
good. I just want to make sure.
Yep. And then there are students studying, and when you walk in, these students seem to know a little bit more than the other ones because they all get quiet and they look at you. Now, I don't know. Like, you're making your own backstory up. I have not asked you previously why you left the school. So, when these kids see you, what would be the appropriate reaction based on why you left the school? Like, excitement, fear?
Excitement, obviously.
But did you leave the school on a certain kind of term that would make them worried? Like, is it crazy that you're back? Is it...
It's weird.
So, you walk in to the library and the kids look up. There's a little bit of concern on their face and there's some mumbling back and forth and a little bit of nervousness, but then they quiet down. They try not to look your way. You make your way to Xavier's office?
Yep.
All right. So, you walk into Xavier's office and there are scores of books on your left, scores of books on your right, a grand desk and a beautiful window that sits behind the desk that lets all the light in. And sitting at the desk, kind of like the collar's two buttons open, nice jacket, relaxed, pair of ruby shades, sits a man that you've spent a lot of time with. This is Scott Summers. And as you enter, he stands up and he's like, "Pietro, so glad you could come."
Duh.
How have you been? How have you been? Please sit down.
Thank you. Quick scan of the room. Is there a coffee pot?
No. Xavier was not much of a coffee drinker.
Kettle.
I'm sorry?
Kettle.
No.
Does man ever drink?
There is a small, you would know there's a small liquor cabinet nearby.
Fogs the mind.
And before, as you sit down, Cyclops says, "Can I offer you something to drink?"
That would be great. Vodka.
Always on fucking brand.
Yeah.
And he says, "All right." And so he says, "How do you want it?"
Straight. Warm.
He kind of nods. He's like, "Okay." And fixes you a drink. Fixes himself a nice sparkling water. And
cherry coke, drinking motherfucker.
So he brings his drink back to you, or brings your drink to you, takes a seat himself, and he says, "So, it's been a while."
It has.
"Where have you been? I understand you were in the jungles of Russia."
So then he asked to be specific.
Hmm. "What took you there?"
"A man can find many things about himself inside that jungle." "It cleanses the soul, as it were."
"Did you find what you needed?"
"Found everything I needed. I have not touched the vodka yet, by the way."
Okay.
"It's on the table."
Okay. And he says, "I wasn't sure if you would accept the invitation based on what happened before."
"Water under the bridge, my friend."
"What happened that day? I wasn't here for it, but I've heard about it, but I'd like to get your side of the story."
"If you remember, Summers, that we had a young..." I'm going to get the guy's name wrong. "A young juggernaut, sans helmet." "A decommissioned juggernaut, if you will. He was under my care. And he took... well, he took some words too far. And I had to..." "He took some words too far." "He took his words too far. So I had to put them back. Perhaps my conduct was not very becoming of an X-Man. But there were boundaries that were shattered. that should not be shattered.
And that's the part I'm not sure about, because it's not like we have not come up against Juggernaut before, but what made you have to leave the school over it?
Some of the younglings saw me punching down an offenseless man. Some of the younger men saw me punching down, for all intents and purposes, an average man with my bare hands. And they looked at me like some kind of monster. And so...
I'm not quite sure, this is all came under Xavier. Were you asked to leave, or did you decide to leave?
Xavier gave me a look, and I knew everything I needed to do in that one look. So I packed a duffel bag.
The same duffel bag?
The same one. And I took flight over to Mother Russia and journeyed into Zeleniarsk.
So you've been in those jungles for 3 years?
Not just those jungles, but
How many different jungles did you explore in Russia?
Just going to kind of look at Cyclops for a second. There are other places besides jungles in Mother Russia. You'd know if you had been there.
Right. Let me get to the point. As you know, the professor has been missing for quite some time now. And we had to make some difficult choices here. Tensions are on the rise, and there's even talk that the Sentinel program will be reinstated based on the popular opinion that's out there about mutants and what to do with us. Or I'm not sure if you've actually heard or not, but we recently Magneto made a play against the United States again, and we were there to stop him, luckily. But the damage he caused, both physical and to our reputation as mutants, is near irreparable. We actually don't know if you know or not, but as far as the country knows, Magneto died that day, but we were able to bring him back here. He's imprisoned, you know, for his own good down below, and trying to figure out what to do with him, and we're still looking for Xavier, and that's part of why I brought you here, because Pietro, we could use your help. We are in the middle of trying to basically fight two battles. On one end, we have to maintain public trust. We have to repair bridges. And in that regard, we have done two things with the school. The first thing is we've opened the doors. We need to show people that through example, through leadership, we can bring about a new generation of mutants, a generation that can prove above and beyond that it's ready to tackle the problems of the 21st century. We also need to show that we're willing to put our powers to use for the betterment of not just mutant kind, not just humankind, but all of humanity.
I raise my glass to that. It's like, now that, Summers, we both agree on.
He nods. Knocks his glass of sparkling water against your hard vodka, your hard liquor.
Mm-hmm.
Takes a big swig. He feels good about it.
Mm-hmm. I put my glass down.
Okay. So, to that end, we have reformed the X-Men, and we are doing everything we can in order to ensure that we are at all times putting a good example out there. You know, we're going back old school. We're going with acts of heroism again. We're trying to show them that we can do this, that we can bring everything we have to the table. Now, what that also means, and he kind of looks around, and I wanted to tell this to you. I want to tell you this in the strictest confidence. Do I have your word that this stays in the room?
Da.
What I want to explain to you is that there is a second team. And this is something you haven't heard about. The second team is X-Force. We've formed a second team that is able to essentially do what it needs to, that can go where the X-Men can't and do the things the X-Men cannot be connected to. And currently, right now, that team, led by Wolverine, is doing everything it can, using every means possible, to go after whoever's responsible for Xavier's disappearance.
Hmm. Only the blackest of ops for X-Men X-Force.
Right. Now, we have two teams, as I just explained, and we'd like you to come back and be a part of the X-Men. Now, I'm not sure where you'd like to fit in, but I believe that you bring with you not just your powers. Like, obviously, whatever team you ended up on, you'd be an incredible asset with your ability to essentially walk out of any fight unscathed. Combined with your incredible strength, you'd be an incredible asset to the X-Men proper. You'd be out there on the front lines showing everybody that we aren't the kind of monsters they think we are. Showing people, inspiring people, making people understand that they can trust us, that they can rely upon not just the X-Men, but mutant kind as a whole. You could even become a teacher here. Like, some of us are going to do both. We're going to be teachers and professors, but also be out there on the front line showing the students, not just telling the students. Now, that said, your skills would also be considerable on X-Force, because that team needs every bit of help it can get to go up against the kind of crazy stuff that they're uncovering. You would be able to go undercover, underground. I don't know the relationships you formed since you've been in the jungles of Russia.
Slenyarsk.
But you would need to sever those connections. Go deep undercover. You would be traveling with Wolverine's team. Are there any questions? Do you need to know about the teams? Do you need to know more about their missions?
I need to know about the teams. Who would I be working with?
Okay, if you're with us, you'd be working with me.
Mm-hmm.
You would also be working with Emma, Bobby, Hank. You'd have to work with Kitty. Don't know where you two are on that, but... And you'd also be working with Aurora. All of us together are the X-Men. If you're interested in working with X-Force, you'd be working with Logan, Betsy, Warren, Lucas, and...
Don't you know who those fucking people are? I know who Warren is. Betsy?
And you'd be working with Sarah, who recently joined the team as well.
Help me, Summers. I do not know who this Betsy or Sarah are. Do they have code names?
Pietro, what happened in those jungles? You don't know Psylocke? Mero?
Ah. Three years in the intense heat of Zelenyarsk can do wonders and also problems to men.
I didn't think that you suffered any of those kinds of problems. And did you not go in your solid steel form?
Sometimes I'd like to feel the sun on my skin and not filter through my solid steel form. Although when I turn, I stand up and go solid steel. This is very comfortable, you have to admit.
I don't really know that I can admit. I
have to admit, and I sit back down.
It says so.
I grab my glass, I stand up, and I walk towards the window. When I pull back the curtain...
It's already open. It's a beautiful day out.
Do I see the kids, the chillins?
Mm-hmm. And again, if you don't want to be on either team, just you being a teacher, I think that your experiences and... honestly, the kind of man that you are, the kind of man that we've known for years, I think that you're what we're missing at this school.
If I attack with the shot glass, does that give me an extra d6?
No.
Okay, shame.
You getting your dice together?
I am. Because he's still talking, right?
Yeah.
Scott, there is one thing you forgot to represent in the school.
What's that?
You forgot Russia. Yeah, I got a 15 with a D12. I'm just gonna try and punch him into the desk.
Into the desk?
Yes.
So you rush forward after dropping your Russia line. You drive your fist into his gut, kind of pick him up, and slam him into the desk. The desk shatters. And there's nothing from Cyclops.
I take his fucking glasses. And then I take a broken fragment from the desk. Okay, he's knocked out, right?
That's it. You took him out.
I don't know. I want to make
sure. Yeah, you hit him with a D12, right? Stepped up, puts him right into to trauma.
So I got two things I want to do. All right. First thing I want to try is I take his glasses, I put them in my breast pocket. Right? No, fuck it. I wear them.
You put on his visor?
They're red, man.
And, oh my god.
I take his eyes. I pick up, so like I'm holding his body in one arm and I'm holding his head up. Can I shoot? Can I use him like a turret with his ruby red optic blast? Like, if I open his eyes, like hold his eyelids open? Because if I can't do that, then I got something else I'm going to do.
No.
No. And I toss him, I just let him go, and I take a broken piece of the table and just jam it into his neck to kill him. Why? Don't look at me like that.
You fucking killed Cyclops?
I'm killing Cyclops.
Oh. Let me make a note of that. Oh my shit. Okay, so... I hope you liked our first episode of Colossus versus the World. If you want to find out where he goes from here, there's two ways you can do that. Since this is a bi-weekly podcast, you can wait 2 weeks to hear the next one, or you can become a supporter over at patreon.com/worldwalkers. If you become a supporter, you'll gain access to the next episode right now, and you'll also gain exclusive content from my D&D podcast, Worldwalkers. A huge thanks to my wife, by the way, who killed it with this theme song. If you want to follow us online, you can follow me on Twitter at WorldWalkersPod, and you can find Frank on Twitter at Kazalt378, KAZALT378. Thanks for listening.
I'm going to be forging my own continuity. And, I was reflecting on how little I know about comics. Like, I was trying to go, I'm going to Jim Lee the shit out of your Jack Kirby. I don't, like...
What?
Yeah, like...